You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, cheaters, welcome to Spotify. Well, this is the Always Cheating podcast on Spotify Green Room. It's a little bit different. We're still doing these Green Room conversations. Brandon, we will be back doing podcasting apparently very soon. Sooner than I realized.
Our schedule is dictated by FPL Towers. And once that FPL Towers ball starts rolling, which happened today, and we're going to talk a lot about it. It involves price reveals. That's basically when the always cheating machine starts to come awake.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because when the prices came out today, I was like, okay, like this seems crazy, crazy early. And it is early, I think, but I mean, it's been a full 4 weeks since the game, since the game ended, since game week 38 took place. And so it's been about a month. And so I think it's the fact that Euros are going on, and it was Father's Day today. There's game sevens in the NBA playoffs. Like it was like, wow, like this is coming back. So I had a moment where I was just like, okay, you know, like, cause like last summer it felt like a lot, right? There was just like a lot, you know, you had like the pause that happened in the spring, and then it came back, and then it launched again in the fall. And it was like, wow, like, this is crazy. But this, I guess, is just kind of normal. And I think that sometimes people complain about how the FPL game seems like a little bit of an afterthought for the Premier League. And I think the optimistic way to look at this, I mean, like, it's hard to feel like, wow, this is really soon. But the optimistic way to look at this is like, hey, maybe they're really taking it seriously this time. Like, maybe, you know, they're going to invest in better servers, so the game updates a little faster, and we're going to see some improvements in the game overall. And so once the initial shock of them releasing, you know, they've also never done it this way before, right? It used to be like, it'd be like, you know, five player prices a day for a week or two.
Right. One tweet for one player. The first player two seasons ago to have their price revealed was none other than Matt Ritchie. And today, in one fell swoop, they reveal the entire Liverpool squad's price.
Yeah.
One thing it's I crazy. Noticed, there's an interesting tweet from official FPL that said, attention, everyone. Premier League clubs are starting to announce their player prices. It was as if they were suggesting that West Ham United had a committee where they decided what Mark Noble's price was going to be, as opposed to them manipulating the game. I'm with you with the optimistic take of it's just exciting to see the game grow, and it's exciting to see the Premier League put more resources into it. The graphic reveals are really cool. From just an awareness point of view, I guess it's good because people are dialed in to broadcasts of the Euros and following it on social media, where they'll see this marketing from official FPL. But on the other hand, there is so much noise right now, and I just wonder if FPL can better capitalize on announcements like this when they're not in the midst of a giant European tournament and that's they're the only thing going on. It's just something I think about.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you there too. I mean, both of us, you know, in our hashtag real life jobs are in the marketing sphere. So, you know, it's like Sunday afternoon reveal, you know, like it feels like in politics, they have like the Friday evening news dump, you know, and that's where someone like releases like the ugly, you know, details of their taxes or whatever, you know, it's like Friday when everyone's about to go out. But, I think, again, if I'm looking at this from an optimistic standpoint, it's exciting because you and I, especially as Americans, have a lot of work to do every year to try to get, you know, it's not, I mean, our audience is actually more UK than US, but I mean, we have this kind of long goal of trying to get more people in the US to play fantasy. And we need as much time as we can, right? Because you have to kind of meet people where they are and explain what the game is. And you can't do that, you know, the first week of August. You really have to start the work in late June. And so if the site goes up tomorrow, which I think is at least a possibility, then all right, great. Like there's going to be people, like we have friends in our group of friends who are not fantasy managers who are interested in the European championships who have done like this little kind of team pick 'em game. Right. Mm-hmm. You know? And so mm-hmm. there's just a lot of, you know, so from that perspective, maybe capitalizing when there's still a lot of interest in the Euros is smart, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
For those listening on the podcast, if you notice the audio quality is a little different, again, that's because Josh and I are using Spotify Green Room, which actually absorb Locker Room, which is what we've been using for the last couple of weeks. The cool thing is people who are joining us in the Green Room, Miguel and George, we see you. If you guys want to say hello and chat with us live, you can do so here in the Green Room. So if you're listening on the podcast, you want to get in and chat with me and Josh, we're doing these Green Rooms every week, and then regular podcasts of the highest fidelity, Joshua, will be returning very shortly, as you say, like as the FPL site is just about to relaunch. So how should we – that's an open invitation then to Miguel and George if you want to say hello. But Josh, how should we set the table here for discussing actual player prices? Because we've got a ton of players that we can actually talk about right now.
Yeah, I mean it's a good question. I feel like I sort of I was muttering through my answer for a second there, but I mean okay, I guess I don't think either of us have like gone through every single player price with a fine tooth comb yet. Although I'm starting to dig through them a little bit, but I mean there's a couple that really do jump out to me right away. It's in that mid, you know, as we all know, the midfield is the greatest section of the fantasy game. Is in
that's
the midfield,
where all the points are, baby.
Yeah, and so I mean, right away, Rafinha and Jota stand out to me as you know, really like premier options. So
I'm with you. Rafinha at 6.5. I feel like if you compare him to Patrick Bamford, I think a lot of the story would be with the forwards and the price bump that Patrick Bamford got up to 8.0. I think throughout last season, Leeds was obviously really enticing for fantasy managers. Lots of attacking points there. And you could argue, well, I'll have Rafinha over Bamford or vice versa. Now, 8.0 really does favor Rafinha going into game week one just because that price is so affordable and Rafinha just continues to – I feel like he was great to start the season for Leeds last year, and he's just seemed to grow in his in his influence over that attack. So, yeah, I feel like he's straight into everyone's game week one teams. Jota is a different question.
Yeah, Jota's but just to tackle Rafinha for a second, I mean, I guess, you know, if you look at his returns last season, I mean, I suppose they don't, you know, look, if this is your first year doing fantasy this fall, you might think, okay, like, those numbers are decent, right? Like it's, you know, it's like, it's solid, but it's not amazing. Let me pull up his return. So what's interesting too, is, I mean, I guess it is possible if a game will launch tomorrow, but right now you can still go into the site and like it's like the game never really stopped, right? You can like, you can go to the transfers page, you can, you know, and so it's like, if it's going to start tomorrow, it's going to have to turn around really fast. But anyway, so if you go in there and look at Rafinha, his returns are, I mean, I don't know, 6 goals and 10 assists. It's not bad. I mean, I feel like 6.5 million for a player with 6 goals and 10 assists on a really attacking team.
Yeah.
It just feels unusually low to me. I mean, that's like, I don't know. I feel like Wilfred Zaha has been getting higher prices than that with very comparable returns. So
Wilfred Zaha, though, interesting comparison. Is it because Zaha has so many Premier League seasons under his belt and he is always the best player for Palace that he gets inflated slightly? Like Rafinha is benefiting. Fantasy managers are benefiting from Rafinha having only one season under his belt.
I mean, sorry. I mean that clearly is what it is. But I mean, Patrick Bamford's up to 8 million, right?
Well, yeah,
he's only had one good season too in the Premier League.
Yeah, and if I were Patrick Bamford, like as good a season as he had, you know, he has endurance issues. I think, especially under Bielsa, like Bamford was the Leeds player most likely to have his hands on his knees puffing for breath around the 65th minute. I wonder if Rodrigo is going to start getting more minutes. They could sign another striker. I don't know. I think that that's 8.0 is that feels like a trap. And speaking of traps, we're going to get Miguel onto the stage here.
speaking of trapping,
but also, Aubameyang, while we're on the topic of, overpriced players, he did get a price drop to 10.0, but the story there is he's moved back to the forward position. Miguel, do you have any thoughts, feelings, concerns first on the Leeds prices that were revealed and also Aubameyang 10.0? I don't think anybody's going to be going for Aubameyang at least for a month into the season.
Which means Josh might think about it, right?
Yeah. He's trying to talk himself into it.
Well, I think the rhyme and reason behind FPL Towers is always a little bit, as a teacher, it's discomforting to not have like rules for like, hey, we're going to do like the reveals in this manner, this teams, these players on these days. So it becomes this hodgepodge of like whatever. And it's kind of freaky, but like, why no Dallas? Like, why not tell us like what's going on with Dallas? Obviously, he's not going to be a defender, but like, it's like the added suspense. I guess that's supposed to kill us. I don't know, but yeah.
I'm with you, Miguel. Like, would it be cooler if FPL like teased out? Okay, tomorrow is our official Wolverhampton price reveal day, and they make a whole event out of it. Like, they missed, even though we're all talking about it, Josh and I are podcasting about it right now, it just kind of happens in a flash, and it feels like not an event, right?
I do love how much of the commentary that we do both on Locker Room and in our own podcast is like basically us like discussing the marketing of the fantasy game and what we would do differently.
It's disgusting.
They did reveal that Dallas is going to be a midfielder. He's a 5.5 million midfielder.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's still locked in now.
Yeah.
So then how do we talk about Dallas in relation to the likes of Rafinha and Jota and Liverpool? Is because 5.5 is very tricky for Dallas. Now you kind of have to play him at that price tag as at least a fourth midfielder. And yeah. I don't know. I feel like I need to pay the extra million to get Rafinha.
I was talking to our friend John about this, our Scottish friend, John Arbaroff, Brandon, I think is how you pronounce that last name. And he was noting that the returns that Dallas received last season, if you made those midfielder returns, they would be in line with someone like a lot of players that we would consider like real fantasy assets, right? Like I think the players he named were like Mahrez, Mount, Jared Bowen, Phil Foden, you know. So like it's you know, 130 plus points is quite a lot, right? I mean, if you're across 200, you're kind of in that superstar category, but anything over 100 is like a pretty, you know, pretty substantial. So at 5.5 million, I think he's really there. I mean, the question then is, do you double up Dallas and Rafinha? Because I mean, Rafinha, I think, is going to start the season. He's going to be like that. Remember last year, like it was kind of inexplicably, like everyone decided we were all going to be in on Timo Werner, and even though he never played a minute in the Premier League, he was like 54% owned going into game week one. I feel like that's going to happen with Rafinha this year, where it's like if your mom plays fantasy for the first time this year, you're like, you got to get Rafinha. He's 6.5 million. You got to come to your team.
So you invoke Chelsea there, Josh. Chelsea distinctly absent from the player price reveals today. Yep. And if I think about Chelsea, we discussed this throughout the entire course of the season. Chelsea, obviously a great team stacked with great players, now Champions League winners. We still really don't know who the player is to have. I guess it's Kai Havertz. Though I was looking back at Kai's returns over the course of last season, he only got attacking returns in 7 matches. Now, he didn't play a lot, and he's playing under 2 different managers. But I think this is one of the harder jobs that FPL has, is how are they going to price this Chelsea team?
Yeah. It's an interesting, like, there's a lot of, like, I mean, because Chelsea, Man City, Man United, all absent so far from the press reveal discussions. I think Havertz is going to be interesting. I mean, it'd be great if he came in at, like, 7.5. I guess that's probably too optimistic, right? Pulisic's got to be 8 million, right? That just feels like exactly where they're going to put him. They're going to make them all 8 million.
And that was roughly where they were last season. If you look at all of the Liverpool price reveals, they're basically all the same price that they were last season. You've got Trent again at 7.5, Robertson at 7 million. Were Mane and Salah the exact same price in game week one last season? Because now with the reveal today, Mane is at 12 and Salah is at 12.5.
Yeah, what do you think about that Mane price? I mean, it's clearly too high, but if Mane were like 11 million, would you consider him, Brandon? Like, how low would Mane have to be to consider him over Salah?
Yeah, I think it's 11, because then that extra 1 million, where you're talking about Salah versus Mane, that extra 1 million means I get Rafinha over Dallas or some equivalent like that. That's a decision that you get to make. The 0.5, based on Mane's form last season, no one is going to take Mane. And this is an interesting question for pricing an FPL to me, is how do you price to make the pool of enticing players bigger? Like, everyone complains every season about everyone has the same players. Every manager's team is so template because the pricing is such that if you're going to go for Mane at that price, why aren't you just paying for Salah? So I think a player like Mane, that's an opportunity for FPL to say, you know what, let's go crazy, down price him by 2 million, and suddenly game week one becomes a little more exciting.
Yeah, they're a little bit patient with that kind of stuff. I feel like they're more patient with dropping than they are with price rises, where I feel like a player can have a big season. And I mean, outside of the obvious Rafinha case here, but I feel like in general, a player can have a big season, they can jump a lot. But if a player has a down year, it like they only tick down like 0.5, you know, right. It's sort of like I bet KDB. What did KDB come into this season? I think he was 12 million. And, you know, pretty disappointing returns at 12 million. I doubt he starts any lower than 11.5, though. Right. I just think they're going to they kind of nick him. Now, that's why Aubameyang will be worth owning an FPL in about 5 years. It's like Mesut Ozil, you know, right?
Wayne Rooney, I think, dropped down pretty low when he found his way to Everton at the end of his Premier League career. And I think KDB, too, if he keeps going in the Euros like he did in the last match for Belgium, his FPL price might inflate a little bit more there. I want to welcome James to the stage. And James, you said something in the chat about a home field style price reveal. Can you explain to me what that means?
So, last time I had a pitch for Apple, so now I'm going to have a pitch for home field.
It's more free advertising in the podcast.
Yeah, more free advertising. So, home field is a small college football apparel brand in Indiana, and they make this big reveal every Saturday about like what new school they're going to like have merchandise for, and they build it up all week. It creates this huge thing on social media, and I just don't understand why FPL doesn't do that. I mean, it creates a massive. I mean, they started as like three guys in a garage in Indiana. Now they have like dozens of employees over the last 2 years. It just created this huge social media following.
I've got a couple home field shirts. I was wearing a shirt earlier today, and I've got a sweatshirt. Again, this is totally free.
Free ads. No free ads. That always cheating. Coors Light, made to chill. I also want to get Don up here on the stage. Don, first of all, how are you doing today? Happy Father's Day to Don, to James, to Miguel, to you as well, Josh. It's Father's Day here in the States.
Thank you.
But Don, what did you make of the price reveals? Is it getting you kind of excited? Is it getting the juices flowing for the FPL season to get here?
Hey guys, thanks for bringing me up. Happy Father's Day, and hope you guys are having a good day. And by the prices, you know, I think, you know, I'm just ready for the next Premier League season and the next fantasy season to come. And one guy that I'm definitely getting in is Mo Salah. I missed out on Mo Salah like last year in the first game of the season, and I picked Mane. I'm not doing the same mistake again. And so he tends to start the season very well. So, and he's playing Norwich first, so definitely he's coming in first game of the season. I also thought that the West Ham prices were pretty interesting as well. Mikel Antonio at 7.5.
Yeah.
Sushek as well. I think he's at 6 mil.
Yeah. I thought 7.5 was pretty reasonable for Antonio too, and I'm with you on Salah. I mean, I actually posted this on Twitter earlier today, and I feel like even if Mane were 10 million or 9.5 or something, I would still have Salah. I might have them both. I mean, that's the one thing that gets killed by them being the same price. But you know, I mean, Brandon made the mistake of not captaining Salah at home to a promoted team last season.
I was on your rooftop, Josh, and I had captained Aubameyang. Yeah, because he was playing Fulham. Fulham, we correctly predicted their defense was crap. But then on your rooftop, I watched as you celebrated your captaincy hat trick for Mo Salah. And yeah, I'm with you, Don. I'm not going to make that mistake. Again, having Salah in your team in game week one probably won't be enough. His effective ownership is going to be 200%. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Well, and there is no Euros for Africa this summer. So, like, how's the European players and the South American players playing in these huge, massive tournaments, and the African players not doing that?
That's a good point. I mean, that makes me think someone like Mahrez might be a good option as well, right? If you just like has a little bit of a extended break. And I'm never on the Mahrez bandwagon. You will never see me bang the drum for him, because I just really dislike having players in my fantasy team who are so rotation prone.
We've got Toby. I'm getting a little slap back here. If you wanna chat, go ahead and mute yourself and request to join again. We're also gonna bring George Kenny up onto the stage.
Is slap back an official term, by the way?
I picked it up from some other live podcast that I listened to, so I'm going to go with it. You know, Josh, the secret sauce for always cheating is fake it till you make it. Pretend like you know what you're doing, and then it looks like you know.
that's a good point.
but George, any feedback for you on the price reveals? Were there any players missing from the reveal today, or players that jumped out at you? I mean, I will say for me, George, before I want to talk about Todd Cantwell. So once we hear about your feedback, George, let's get to Todd Cantwell. Everybody wants to talk about that.
Well, I want to talk about the Portuguese Todd Cantwell. I think Jota, Salah and Trent, I don't think you can look outside of those three for Liverpool. I mean, even if he doesn't start, Jota's going to be playing 30, 40 minutes in every game. And if Liverpool don't sign a forward this summer, which they might do, I think they've been linked with Isaac, maybe, the Swedish lad, and Daka. But if they don't sign someone, I think Jota is nailed in my team.
Yeah, Firmino kind of ran out of gas for Liverpool last season.
Those three are pushing 30 now. And Jota is, what, 24 or something? So he's coming into, like, his kind of peak years, and these three are sort of the older statesmen now. So
it's hard not to feel a little more pro-Jota, too. I mean, just yesterday he and Ronaldo combined for a really good goal. I mean, that, like, crazy. Like, that's, like, the kind of goal, like, you see people try to score all the time, right? Where, like, the player, like, where somebody, chases down a ball, kicks it over their head. And, like, I feel like 9 times out of 10, that just gets swept away by a central defender, and the him placing it basically at Jota's feet was so beautiful. It was such a great moment.
There hasn't been better link up play with Cristiano Ronaldo since he was playing with Weston McKennie for Juventus last season. So you know, Jota is the new McKennie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, let's talk about Todd Cantwell then, Brandon. You're ready. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so Cantwell coming in at 5.5, a little rich. If you all remember Norwich when they got promoted two seasons ago, they for a month looked like the bee's knees. You know, they beat Manchester City in what was it, like game week 3. And Cantwell functioned so well as a fantasy asset because he was 4.5. So this is a total headshot to my man, Todd Cantwell, at 5.5.
This is Cantwell erasure? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I want Cantwell, and they're trying to scrub him from the history books. And then Pookie comes back. Pookie is at 6 million. I don't know how Cantwell got this full 1.0 bump, and Pookie is still at 6 billion. I don't know. And Pookie has not really done the business for Finland in this tournament.
It's really all about Buendia, right? I feel like he's the one that...
Who's going to Aston Villa, though.
Oh, right. That's right. Oh, geez. Wow. Well, hey, there you go. That's why Cantwell's at 5.5. See, this, I mean, I knew that. I just forgot for a second. But
of course,
right.
Yeah. But this is going back to what Don was saying about Mo Salah and Liverpool playing Norwich in game week 1. This is a classic promoted club where they just decide, let's cash in on our best player. I mean, Spurs can barely get away with trying to rebuild a squad with Gareth Bale money. Maybe they're going to try and do that with Harry Kane money. Norwich are not going to be able to fill the Buendia hole straight away. So Norwich are just like setting themselves up to be whipping.
It's weird though, because Buendia was so, like, he was just okay, I feel like, a couple of seasons ago. And I, you know, it was like, is he like one of those championship, is he like an Anthony Knockart, you know? I mean, I know Buendia is rated really highly, but
Tom Kearney.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's see you do it in the Premier League first, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, I guess Patrick Bamford was the other example of this, right? Where it was like, it was hard to take Bamford seriously at the start of last season because he kind of kicked around all of these various Premier League clubs for years and years, right? And it really wasn't until Bielsa turned him into Bielsa is just such a, I don't even want to. Brandon, let's just do a full hour this summer on Bielsa and how much I love him and how much I never want him to leave. I want to do the manager of every club. Like, I'm just
there was something that I saw on social just a few days ago where Bielsa showed up at like a youth clinic and he was just managing with his like full throated squatty managerialness these little kids. He's trying to spread the joy around the world. James S. Whistle is now on the stage.
Entwistle, I think.
Entwistle.
Like my John mistake. Yeah.
How's it going, James?
Hi, very well, thank you. I just wanted to pick up because I'm a Norwich fan and been season ticket holder for a number of years now.
I take it all back, James.
No, because honestly, I've been there, done that, and seen Norwich fail on many occasions. Just with the Buendia side of it, Buendia, last time he was in the Prem, actually created the most chances of any of the non-top six players in the Premier League. And I think he fell a bit under the radar because of Todd Cantwell. And he actually had, I think, 7 assists in the Premier League last time round. So his actual contribution was quite big. So I think for Aston Villa, he is actually a player to watch out for. And he was red hot in the Championship.
So you're saying that the supposed Todd Cantwell erasure is in fact Emmy Buendia erasure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's deep.
Well,
and I think
the conspiracy goes all the way to the top of FPL Towers. We got to do some more investigating, Brennan.
I think that's a fair point, James. And if I remember, too, Buendia in that Premier League season was injured for a fair stretch. So the fact that he managed that chance creation is probably why we don't remember him all that well from his performances that season.
And James, also,
chance creation doesn't equal goals either. So if you have Pukki finishing and not, somebody better than Pukki.
James.
Ollie Watkins, that's going to be your answer to that one.
Oh my God! Yes, Buendia to Watkins. This is just like everyone's championship dreams are fully coming true in the Premier League this season. I love it.
So, wait, James and Wilson, while we have you on, I mean, let's do a little bit of Norwich talk for a second. I mean, what have you looked at the player prices that they've revealed so far? Did anyone else? You know, we sort of talked about the players that we knew well, including one who has left the club. But, you know, is there anyone that you're like, okay, like Max Aarons, he's at 4.5 as you'd expect. But I guess I'd be particularly curious in that midfield if there's anyone outside of Cantwell who you think might be a fantasy asset to keep an eye on this season.
To be honest, no. I think part of that comes with the fact that without Ollie Skip after his loan finishing, defensively within the midfield, it was all set up so he would be sort of allowing Max Aarons to go on the right-hand side and get into the creative thirds. And I don't trust... Pukki should have scored about 35 goals in the Championship this year. He had so many chances he didn't take. And so I don't trust his form. The only one that I would say potentially might be one to look out for in the first game week or first couple of game weeks, and I know we've got a horrible start to the season, would be actually Lucas Rupp. And because he's 4.5 million, he is the cheapest of the Norwich midfield. And currently, you're only looking at Sorensen, McLean and Rupp really to start the season if we don't sign any players. And when he has played in the Championship this year, he did look fairly solid at getting into the final third positions and creating a few chances here or there. But to be honest, I think Norwich is a team to really stick away from until we've seen what Stuart Webber can do in terms of signings and how they start kicking on in the season.
Okay, that was the download that we needed. I want to know what the odds are that Tammy Abraham goes to Norwich. Who's going to sign Tammy Abraham this summer is the question I have. Wow. Let's flip it over to Don because Don had a question. What do you need, Don?
Yeah, so like we were talking about, like, you know, Championship players. Like, what are we thinking about Ivan Toney of Brentford?
He's definitely the standout striker, I think, from these clubs, and he did bring the performances to the Championship playoffs. Josh, you were taken with him in that final.
Yeah, I mean, it's that classic thing where I'm probably drawing too much from, like, the one match I really watched this year. I mean, I was sort of keeping an eye on the Championship as a thing that was happening. But, you know, but I wasn't watching Championship matches on television or like that. And so, yeah, I mean, the first time I really saw Toney play was in the Championship final. And I believe he was was he the Championship Golden Boot winner this year? I think he was. If not, he was second behind.
I think that's right. It looks like James has left the stage. He would be able to correct us there. But I'm almost certain you're right. Yeah, we've got a thumbs up.
And I just think that Brentford is just a team that I'm especially, you know, I'm particularly excited about. I just think that, they've got a good manager. They're really data forward. They're just kind of a smart team. Like, you know, there's some teams that climb up to the Premier League from the Championship, and it's just kind of clear that they had a nice run, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like, you know, there's times when you're like, okay, like, you know, like West Brom last season is an example, and no offense to West Brom supporters, right? But it was just like, it didn't, going into that season, you weren't like, okay, like this is the start of a long run for West Brom, you know, in the Premier League. But with Brentford, because they're smart, because they have a good manager, because they seem to, you know, scout really well and sort of, I mean, this is a team that lost Saeed Benrahma what's his name?
Ollie Watkins.
You know, during the season, they still got promoted.
It's true. And I think everyone was lamenting the fact that Fulham beat Brentford in that Championship final to get promoted, and Fulham just like lays a turd And everyone is kind of thinking, well, Brentford seems exciting, as you're saying, exactly as you're saying, Josh. We wish that they would have been promoted. Like, sort of like shades of Bournemouth, right? You know, like smaller, even though I feel like there's been a little more investment in Brentford in recent seasons than there ever was at Bournemouth. But I think you're right. Definitely there was. And so, Tony, that's a price we need. I think if Tony comes in at 5.5, that is going to be a third striker that a lot of people are going to be talking about.
Brennan, it's not the price we wanted, but it's the price we needed. You know, I think that's fair to scream.
It's true.
You know,
it's true. Yeah. It's true. Release the Tony price. But but seriously, I want to go back to this Tammy Abraham thing. So we have already kind of talked about Chelsea. There's no way Tammy Abraham sticks around that Chelsea squad. There are just like too many other options.
I don't know why he would. Yeah. By the way, Brennan, it's Champions League winner. Tammy Abraham, put some respect on his name, for goodness sakes.
Respect on my name.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, that he could totally do it. If Swansea had come up, like, that would have been the perfect move for him, right? Because he was so good at Swansea a couple of seasons ago. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's, who knows? I mean, I it's kind of fun to think about where he could be a good fit. I mean, I don't know. Like, you put him at, I don't know, Crystal Palace or something, right?
Yeah.
And he could do a job there. I mean, I don't know. It feels like, I'd have to look through all the clubs and then that wouldn't actually make a difference because, you know, they're not going to pay attention to me. But I feel like there are definitely like a lot of places where, I don't know, like Brighton, like could Brighton actually sign him? Like if Brighton could sign him.
I like that move.
Their biggest problem last season, right, was they couldn't finish.
Yeah, they were trying to get Trossard and I'm blanking on Mappe finishing those chances, and that was tough. We haven't talked about Spurs. So Josh, for the purposes of this discussion, hypothetically, let's just assume Harry Kane.
This is London's Tottenham Hotspur.
Head up north, up north to the great White Hart Lane, the new one, not the old one. And there you'll find the team that we know as Tottenham Hotspur. Heung-min Son is up to 10 million. This has to be the highest price he's ever had. Has he ever been higher than 9.5?
I could look back and check that, but I think that is the highest he's ever been. And it's reasonable. I mean, he had double-digit goals and returns last season. He's probably going to be like basically playing as a forward next year, right, if Harry Kane leaves. So that seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, and then speaking of Harry Kane, 12.5. That is he was the
Golden Boot winner.
He was the Golden Boot winner. My memory is just totally fading now.
Yeah.
Is that a price that assumes he moves to like Manchester City, Manchester United? Harry Kane at a Spurs club that is in free fall at the moment. I don't know. I'm going to have to think long and hard about spending 12.5 for Kane.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on whether he stays there. Right. I mean, although honestly, if Kane leaves for Man City, I wonder if that actually makes things worse, because I don't think he goes to Man City and plays twice a week in 90 minutes all the time. Yeah. like he does at Spurs. So at that point you're in a weird territory, because I feel like when someone like Aguero was priced that high, it was typically not a great price for him. It usually meant he was a player that was like not a lock in your team, right? He was sort of in and out because, in his case, you know, Aguero would just get, you know, he'd be great and then he'd get injured for 6 weeks or whatever. I felt like it was always international break. Like every time international break rolled around, you were like, every Aguero owner was just like crossing their fingers, right? It's like, okay, like what knee is going to get, you know, it's going to get strained on this international break, you know? So I don't know. I think it's going to be good for Kane as a player. And I actually really would like to see him at Man City, even though I know that would make it really, it would make Man City, it would really make them even harder to defeat in the Premier League. But I think it'd be good for his like long-term growth, because he just wouldn't have to play so many minutes.
Who wants to talk about goalkeepers? Raise your hand.
I got one for you, by the way, just before we start. So someone threw out a fake tweet and earlier that I saw that I got tricked by at first, which was someone said it was the first player price reveal. And it was M. Martinez at $6.5 million as a keeper. And I was like, oh, my God, no.
That would be horrible. That would be horrible. Emmy Martinez not announced yet, so no idea. So I'll just quickly, because this is a small cluster of goalkeepers, I'll read their names and their prices. Allison, 6.0. Pope, 5.5. Lloris, 5.5. Melier at Leeds, 5.0. Fabianski, 5.0. Now things get interesting, Josh. Sanchez at Brighton, 4.5. Guaita at Palace, 4.5. And Tim Krul, yes, we're back talking about Norwich again, is also 4.5. Coming out of last season, I feel like one of the lessons learned was find a good goalkeeper on a good team.
Yeah,
we got lucky that Emmy turned out to be a great goalkeeper and was 4.5.
Yeah,
but looking at these prices, Josh, are you starting to formulate a strategy around goalkeepers? Do you think maybe Guaita finally back down to 4.5? I could just go for Crystal Palace defense again.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm forming a strategy yet, but I mean, it's interesting to think. I mean, like Melier at 5 million. On the one hand, you're like, ah, be great if he was 4.5, but it's actually not a bad price for him. You know,
yeah.
He's quite a good keeper, and you'd expect Leeds to continue to improve right in year two. Sure. So Fabianski at 5 isn't bad either. There were moments last season where it felt like West Ham was starting to figure things out a little bit defensively. Maybe not so much down the stretch, but I mean, Guaita at 4.5. Now we're talking. Now he's back where he should be. He used to be 4.5, spent a couple of seasons in the nosebleeds at 5 million, and now he's back where he belongs in that 4.5. I wish that Pope was 5 million. If Pope was 5 million, I'd just bring him in. I wouldn't think about another keeper the rest of the season. But at 5.5, it feels a little too high.
I'm with you. James Parham. How do I say your last name, James, for the folks listening at home?
Parham.
Parham.
Like, all right. I say it like this, like David Beckham. It's pronounced the same way. The hand at the end.
Yep. That tracks, James. All right. What did you want to say about goalkeepers?
I was just going to say Leeds defense. I've got an Irish friend who's a Leeds fan, and he had some crazy stats about how improved Leeds were in the final third of the season defensively, and that's actually how they won games, not by attacking but by defending. And I just wondered, they're probably still going to give up shots, and so he might have save potential plus clean sheet potential. And I mean, that's how Emi Martinez all got into our teams early in the season, because Emi Martinez actually wasn't that great toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – I know that there are people who are already starting to talk about, like, their lineups the first 5 weeks and goalkeeper rotation and things like that, and I actually don't think that's a great approach to this early in the fantasy season. I think it's a lot better to just sort of take things – I mean, just basically do what James just did, right? It was just think about every player individually. And I think it's like, don't focus too much on the game part of it yet. You know, focus more on the, like, opinion-forming – knowledge, like, you know, it's like think about a keeper and then sort of work from there. Like, okay, like, yeah, Guaita's interesting. What do his first 5 fixtures look like? You know, and then like, okay, like, what, like, could you rotate with him with somebody else? Or, you know, what, like, it's just sort of move from there. And I feel like, I definitely am not going to, even when the game launches, I'm just going to put together a dummy team and not even try to put together a starting 11 yet, because I think it's, I think you find yourself getting over committing to players early on, it, you know, and you start to get, you're like, I feel like this really happened to me with Timo Werner last season. I'm going to try to avoid it, which is, you just get in your head, you're like, Werner is the first name in my team, you know, Werner is the one that I want the most.
And there's a cascading effect, right, Josh? So you decide that, and then from there, you start making compromises in all other parts of your team to hold on to that one player. So it's not I have the wrong striker. It's now I have mismatches in my midfield and my defense to accommodate that one player.
Exactly. Let's say I bring a guy to Brennan, but you know I'm going to want 3 Crystal Palace players, right? So if I bring him in.
As soon as Eze's back fit, Josh, you're jumping on him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but if Tammy, I'm going to have everybody, okay? Although, yeah, Crystal Palace got rid of, like, every old player this offseason. It's like, really? Yeah. And they haven't signed a manager yet, have they? No, I think they're still without one. Fred Lampard rumored.
They're going to take whoever Spurs don't take, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon, should we call this in a minute? It's actually Father's Day here, so I need to.
Yeah,
I need
let's
to,
go.
I need to go do some Father's Day.
You go. You go be entails. A dad. I'll go pretend to be a dad, but it was great fun chatting with everyone in the green room today. Like I said, we do these green rooms every week. So follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, and we'll always post the link there. And if you're a Patreon supporter, we post the link to our live green rooms in our Slack. But yeah, the motor is running now, Josh, with these price reveals. The Euros are not the only game in town. The Premier League is back.
Yeah, it's wild. And so, yeah, we'll be back with regular podcasts on actual microphones. The sound is better as soon as the game launches, which honestly, I mean, if it's tomorrow, we'll probably be back with by tomorrow. So, get ready. By the way, just a quick shout out for the Patreon too. This upcoming, you can get Patreon free for the next 10 days, because we're giving everybody who supports the podcast the month of June for free. So there'll be no one's gonna be charged for Patreon this month. So if you're interested in trying out Patreon, now is the perfect time to do it, because you basically would get a couple weeks to just try it out and see if it's for you. So that's a quick shout out. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back very soon with regular pods.
Poker forever.